11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals, and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in a big looking hole, guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores goals, scoring the goals.
Welcome along to the League Podcast. We are back for a shortened version this week because we're looking at League One and League Two with the international break upon us. The man charged with finding new winners is on the line, Pete Farris. Hi, mate. How are you doing?
Not bad, thank you. Last week, the last couple of weeks, Lee, I've been sitting here going, listen, my naps aren't landing, but I'm landing bit after bit in the main bits. And last week, I didn't even land too many in the main bits.
But you predicted that would happen, so you got something right.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm a winner. It's getting swear wording ridiculous now.
Have you got any thoughts? Like, you know, if you were in a bad vein of form as a sportsman or a footballer, you might turn to, I don't know, like a hypnotist or some sort of kind of
God.
Like, yeah, you might turn to God. What have you thought about any kind of alternative therapies?
I've been doing some research into it, but basically my soothsayer, she told me it's probably best just to keep taking the wolfsbane, and we'll see. Obviously, if that and the unicorn tea has sorted me out, really.
Yeah, doesn't seem to be so far, does it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I only started taking them at the beginning of the podcast, so I don't really know if that maybe has a link.
So maybe you need it needs to be like a controlled experiment.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Or I need to punch a unicorn, maybe that'll work, it'll counteract it.
Don't punch a unicorn. That can't ever be good, can it? I wouldn't have thought.
No one can take legal proceedings against me.
That is true.
It's not a real being.
Yeah.
It's like saying I'm gonna punch this, I don't know, minotaur in the face. No one's gonna do me for it because it's not real, is it?
No.
And honestly, to be honest, if there isn't such a thing as a minotaur, then really, it's a public service.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting start to the pod. Maybe we should just talk about this rather than putting bets up.
Yeah, maybe.
We can't go wrong. We've got two TV games this weekend. We're going to do those first, and then we'll have a look at a few other selected games that Pete's picked out. Then we'll do the both teams to score double and a nap each. Let's start with the match on Sunday. It's a 3:30 kickoff, just to break up all the internationals. And it's Bradford City versus Coventry City, the respective league positions. Bradford are in sixth position with 23 points from their 15 games. Coventry are a little bit lower than them, 20 points from their 11 games. You look at the respective form, Pete, and, you know, it's a funny division, League One, because if you don't look at League One for a little while, a week or so, you think, oh, yeah, they're in really good form. And then you look at Bradford, you think, oh, no, they're not. Hang on a minute, they haven't won a game in the last six. They haven't been getting tonked by anyone, but a couple of draws in there as well. And because Coventry had the misfortune before the season started, I mean, they're almost in title-winning form, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a good game, this, basically, to be on the TV.
Yeah, I mean, if you take away the fact that, you know, there was problems pre-season for them, you know, in terms of points and so on and so forth, look at them now. I mean, 9 wins. I mean, when you look at it like that, they should really be top four right now in terms of their points. So they've been absolutely unbelievable, Coventry. They really have. And the work that Stephen Presley has done there is just, under the circumstances, absolutely sensational. There are a few really interesting bets here. I mean, like you say, you can go away, the same in League 2 as well, there's barely anything between any of the sides in League 2 at the moment. And you can go away for 2 weeks and say, oh, of course, this side's one of the best teams in the league. Oh, wait a second, they haven't won in 8. I mean, if you know, Chesterfield, for example, you know, they're top 4 at the moment and they haven't won in 8 games in the league. It's just, it's frightening, isn't it? When you think about how tight these leagues are. Bradford, of course, haven't won in the last 6, have failed to score in 3 of the last 5. They're not looking particularly strong. Yes, have been good at home, but have recently lost to a good side in Wolves and an okay side in Tranmere. I know they're in the bottom 4, but I still think they're an okay side. The thing is, at the moment, though, Coventry, despite the fact they're 11th, are as good pretty much as Leighton Orient or Wolves. Now, that's the way you've got to look at it. I mean, Wolves have only won 2 more games this season than Coventry have. They've drawn the same amount. You know, so really, there's 16 points between Wolves and between Port Vale. Sorry, between Wolves and Coventry. But there should be 6 points, really, when you look at it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this is the thing. Coventry are a top three side, top three, top four side. And to get them against anyone in this league at the moment at 6-4 is fantastic. And I was looking at Callum Wilson because, of course, of his record away from home. We all know what his record's been like recently. And well, his record generally this season has been brilliant, really, rather than away from home. But it's 15-8 the anytime goal scorer win cast. But then Leon Clark on the headline offer, he's 3-1 to score and Coventry to win. And that looks absolutely unbelievable. Leon Clark's got 11 goals in 15 games this season. So for me, Coventry overpriced. Leon Clark anytime at 10-11 is overpriced. And therefore the headline offer of the mix together is overpriced. You're getting 15-8 of Clark or Wilson to score and Coventry to win on the anytime goal scorer win cast. That's been bumped up over a point to 3-1 Clark to score and Coventry to win. It, to me, is an absolutely exceptional bet. I can't be with Bradford. Their form doesn't really allow me to be with Bradford. And then you look at Coventry, who we say are a top four side in a false position in the league because of, you know, the rules that the Football League have imposed. And yes, Bradford are hard, but there's no McArdle, for example. Coventry getting John Fleck back. I'm a big fan of John Fleck. And away from home, I mean, this is a Coventry side who've lost only twice all season. That was their opening away game of the season in that mad game against Crawley. And, you know, very recently against Port Vale in a mad game, both of which had five goals in. So, for me, Leon Clark to score, Coventry to win 3-1, Coventry 6-4, fantastic bet as well. And with the way that we know Coventry can score, I know recently away from home they've had a couple of 1-0 wins, but the way that generally we know they can score and concede, and the fact that Bradford have scored in all but one of the last five home games and conceded in all but one of the last five home games, Coventry and both teams to score at 15-4 also looks good.
Very nice. Let's have a look at Walsall versus Peterborough next. Walsall, the same price as Bradford, 15-8. The draw is the same price, 11-5. And Peterborough's price is the same price as Coventry's, 6-4. I just think they've looked at the two TV games and gone, just price them up the same. Peterborough are third with 32 points. 10 points back are Walsall in ninth position. Walsall's home form is a little bit hit and miss. The 3-0 win over Shrewsbury followed a defeat to Coventry, which followed a win over Stevenage, which followed a defeat to Bradford, which followed a draw to Rotherham. And it carries on back to the start of the season. Draw, loss, win, draw, loss, win. As for Peterborough's away form, not too bad, Pete, really, is it? I mean, it's pretty low-scoring games away from home. Since the 3-0 win over Bristol City, they've lost 2-0 at Sunderland in the League Cup. No shame there. Beaten Rotherham, beaten Port Vale by a goal to nil, lost to Colchester by a goal to nil. Because at the start of the season, Peterborough equaled goals, didn't it?
It did. And I mean, you look at Darren Ferguson's time at Peterborough, generally speaking, and you know, his old adage of we'll score one more than you, wasn't it? It was when he had the holy triumvirate of McLean, McHale, Smith and Boyd. And he has had to change that. I mean, they brought Dwight Gale in. He did a great job. And then Dwight Gale got sold to Crystal Palace. So he's had to constantly battle against that. Lee Tomlin was, of course, he is such an important player. And yet he was on the verge of leaving. Yes, they lost last time out to Colchester, who I don't think are great. They lost before that, of course. I mean, lost two on the bounce, you know, in terms of league form. Was Leighton Orient. So you go, well, that's kind of fine. And, you know, they've played in the JPT in the week and, you know, all things considered, scraped past a poor side, or I think a poor side anyway, in Dagenham and Redbridge, that second half goal from Britt Assombalonga. But Walsall are in great form. Yes, they defeated Shrewsbury 3-0. Yes, Craig Westcar is in good form. And when you look at his price as well, 6-4 any time for Craig Westcar. Got a couple at the weekend against Shrewsbury. Looks very, very handy again, does Craig Westcar. It is a tricky game, this one, but it is one that I think you can still absolutely back Peterborough in. I mean, early season, you know, they had six, they had five away goals, didn't they? And it was away game goals in their away games. Use words, Pete. Come on, you fool. Like you say, recently it's tightened up, but against what I think is a solid enough Port Vale side, a good Rotherham side, and Colchester, who aren't great, truth be told. But I'm still happy to play Peterborough at 6-4. I mean, the Peterborough and Bolton to score 7-2 is nice and it's a tempting price, but when you consider their recent form, you know, not conceded in three away games, you probably wouldn't err toward that, would you? It would probably scare you a wee bit about Darren Ferguson's men at that price. But for me, you've got to go with a Britt Assombalonga anytime goal score a win cast. I know they've put Barnett to score and Peterborough to win at threes on there. I'd probably rather an Assombalonga one because, like I said, you know, got braced away from home a couple of weeks back, scored in the JPT in the week as well, and they just look very handy indeed. I know that's a lot shorter than the Barnett one, because the Barnett one is 3-1, and the Essa-Bolonga one is 9-4. But ultimately speaking, I think that's probably a good way in. And I think Peterborough again, 6-4, overpriced. I'm not desperate to back Walsall. You know, I know that Dean Smith has been very, very happy with some of their performances despite losing games, but, you know, and you could look at the MK Dons game as well. You could look and say, well, Sean Williams beat them 1-0 with that unbelievable free kick. But I think their time is coming for a beat, and I think Peterborough will give them an extra one.
Let's have a look at Carlisle next of all. They're playing Crawley at home. They're 2-1 to win this match on their own patch. 11-5 the draw, and Crawley are priced up at 7-5 to win at Brunton Park. Carlisle's form, full stop, hasn't been particularly great in the last five games. Two draws in there, one in the FA Cup against Boreham Wood, and one at home to Wolves. Lost to Fleetwood Town in the JPT, lost to Gillingham, and lost to Bristol City in the league. As for Crawley, well, they got a win against Hedford Town in the FA Cup away from home, and that's their first win in five as well. Four straight losses in League One to Bristol City, to Brentford, to Stevenage, and to Port Vale. And the common denominator, Pete, home or away, is that they aren't scoring goals, Crawley.
No, and Graham Kavanagh has come out for Carlisle, and he said, we need strikers, we need to bring players in. They didn't score, of course, in the week against Fleetwood, and there's another angle in there. They didn't score against Boreham Wood. You know, scored twice against Wolves, great, scored twice against Bristol City, but they're not a side that you can rely on to get goal after goal after goal, Carlisle. You know, got a 0-0 in the JPT against Morecambe a couple of weeks back and got a penalty. So that's the worry. Yes, Crawley haven't scored in either of their back-to-back away games. They've played an okay Stevenage side and a Bristol City side who I think will still finish top half to maybe even push for a playoff place. They've just had a bad start to the season, a bad adjustment to League One football. So all of that combined, to me, suggests that, quite frankly, Crawley are a really good play there. And yes, they've only had, what, the one away win this season, Crawley. But you look at places they've been, you know, we mentioned the two games they've just lost. They've been at Colchester, maybe should have done something with that. Beaten Peterborough, drawn with Sheffield United, lost narrowly to Wolves, and drawn with Tranmere. It's not, when you dissect it a little bit deeper, the worst home form, the worst away form, I should say, in the world. And yeah, Carlisle have just come off the back of a really good 2-2 draw at home against Wolves. But I don't know if you saw the game, the Fleetwood game. They were, the conditions were dreadful. It was pouring rain. It was horrible wind. It was quite an attritional game at times. They lost 2-0. They've had to go back, you know, home now. They've had to go out to Brunton Park, and they're going to have to try and win this game. They've got no Miller, of course. He's one of their main goal-scoring threats, Lee Miller. And you put all that together, and again, the away price here for Crawley, I think they should be, it sounds daft because they're not the biggest price in the world as such, but I think they should be bigger than 7-5. I think it's a really, really good bet. Carlisle, basically, don't scare me, and Crawley's away form is not as bad as it looks.
Let's have a look into League Two. Pete's picked out three matches here. Morecambe are the first of the games. They're playing Rochdale at home. The prices, first of all then, Morecambe are 9-5. It's 21-10 the draw, and Rochdale are priced up at 13-8 to win at the Globe Arena. Fourth versus fifth, or fifth versus fourth, to put it the right way around, just a point separating them, and just two goals in the goal difference as well. It's a good example, this, Morecambe, of what we were talking about with the lower leagues. You know, they're the fifth, and you think on the face of it going very well, but the form has deserted them a little bit recently after a tremendous start to the season. Maybe a bit of socks up syndrome, because they cut, if you take out the Newcastle United result, they only drew with Carlisle at home and lost on penalties, and since then that's when the form's dipped. 1-1 draw with Wimbledon, 3-0 defeat to Cheltenham, lost to Accrington, beat Burton Albion, and just lost 3-0 to Southend in the FA Cup, Pete. Rochdale's away form is decent as well. They don't draw many. They tend to either win or lose, don't they, Rochdale?
They do, and that's kind of Keith Hill's way, isn't it? He likes to play at teams. He likes to play good football. He likes to play attacking football. He's not a man who sets out defensively. For example, Chesterfield, by Paul Cook's own admission, have struggled recently to break down teams who they play, who just try and defend. In the week, in the JPT, Rochdale didn't just try to defend, they tried to attack, and they got beaten comfortably in the end by Chesterfield. Morecambe like to attack. And I think the way into this game here is goals. Over 2.5 is 4-5. Over 3.5, though, is 9-4. I think that's brilliant. Keith Hill will unquestionably be wanting a reaction to what he saw in the week from his players against Chesterfield, albeit a tricky game. Morecambe, I think, are gettable at home. I mean, they did, of course, come from 3-0 down in one game, and, you know, have only lost the once at home all season. That, though, was the last game, and that was to an Accrington Stanley side, who I think can stay up. I think James Beattie's doing a great job there, but they still lost to Accrington Stanley, and it was a late punch as well, wasn't it? It was that last-minute goal after Danny Webber's got the penalty in the first half, I think it was. So you look at that. Then you look at Rochdale's generalised away form. You've got 3-3, 3-4 is their last four away games in terms of goals. You look at Morecambe at home, 3-4, 7-2, 3, and 4-5 for over 2.5 goals. Looks brilliant. But also, I want to play off the back of the fact that Morecambe have just lost at home for the first time. I want them to maybe take a little while to recover from that. I've seen in this league so many bubbles popped already this year. I mean, don't forget, there's only 10 points between 1st and 17th. That's mad.
Crazy.
That is crazy. I mean, you could look at it another way and say only 7 points between 15th and 1st. It's mad. It is mad, this league. It's so hard to call. But over 2.5 goals in this game, definitely. But I'm going to stick my neck on the line here because I think Rochdale really do flip round after their performance in the JPT in the weekend. Their loss to Chesterfield. Not only that, but I think on top of that, they are going to win this game and they are going to score and they are going to concede, because I think that's the way that these two teams play. They're attacking side and the stats are in my favour as well. So I'm going to play Rochdale and both teams to score at 7-2.
Next up, Bristol Rovers versus Bury. 13-8 Bristol Rovers to win at home. The draw is 11-5 and Bury is 17-10. Bristol Rovers home form. You have to go back 6 games to find the last win. 3 draws in there, though, and a 1-0 loss to Wickham. Also lost 3-1 to Fleetwood, and they're in 20th position, just a point above their opponents, Bury, who last away trip resulted in a 2-1 win at Wickham, which is decent enough. Wickham had a man sent off when it was 1-1. So maybe that helped Bury a little bit. And that's the first win away from home that they'd had since last February, Pete.
Yeah, and of course, Bury are having big changes at the moment as well, aren't they? I mean, first of all, they've renamed their ground, JD Sports. It's no longer, of course, Gig Lane. It's now JD Stadium, isn't it?
Who's that
JD
named Stadium after? Is that a corporate thing, or is it just someone's initials?
It's actually named after Jack Dallas, who is a really, really good local grocer. They just thought they really liked him and they thought they'd name it after him.
Are you sure it's not JD Sprout then, instead of JD Sport? Have you read that wrong?
Oh, no, you're right. Absolutely, yeah, you're right. JD Sprouts.
JD Sprouts. Right. Good name.
But, yeah, I mean, Bury have obviously had some changes. They've brought in, not only that, but they've brought in, of course, Ronnie Jepson until January. And he's the man tasked with at least showing some improvement over the Christmas period. I don't know that I can see it coming, though. The problem is you've got to play a Bristol Rovers side who, you know, was stung last minute in a 3-3 draw the other day. And, you know, it was a mistake from Steve Mildenhall as well that cost them that. And that's going to play on a lot of players' minds. Plus, the price isn't very good at 13-8. So you say to me, Pete, why have you chosen this game then? Because if you don't, the prices are particularly fantastic for you. If the game itself is, in terms of the generalised output, difficult to call, how are you playing this? I am playing a Bury win. And I just said a moment ago that I think they're quite impossible to back, but I think they're worth it at 17-10 because they are changing. They have just come off the back of an away win against, of course, Wickham. They are drawing home games. There is flashes of improvement from them. I don't see the flash of improvement from Bristol Rovers. Yes, they, of course, won early November away at Oxford. Since then, they've not really been scoring. They didn't play brilliantly against Chesterfield. They just defended for all of their lives, which a lot of teams do against Chesterfield this season. And Bury making changes. And away from home, fans at the moment, I think, will be supportive. When it goes back home and people start calling it the JD Sports Stadium again, that's maybe when some of the frustration is going to set in. But up until that moment, they're going to enjoy their away days. And I read a really interesting article, and I'm not saying this is true, I'm not saying this is false, I'm just saying it was an article, and it was an opinion piece of someone saying, listen, we don't like the JD thing. We don't like it. And this, you know, the naming of the stadium. And this is, again, may I just reiterate an opinion piece. But he said away from home was a phrase used. It was a really key phrase that I was looking at the other day, which made me think of this game. He said, the away form, away games, that's what's going to feel like it's still Bury Football Club. And I think that's maybe overly drastic, to be honest, just for the renaming of a stadium. I can understand the frustration of the renaming of a stadium, but still, is maybe a little drastic, but it's maybe a key into how some fans are thinking about this game at the moment. And if you get that kind of buoyancy, plus the fact that Bristol Rovers aren't convincing, 17-10 for Bury is good enough.
Let's have a look at York at home to Plymouth finally before we get both teams to score back. And Naps, 11-8 York, 11-5 the draw, Plymouth 2-1. York are 2 points below Plymouth and 2 places below them as well, and 2 goals better off than their opponents. York's recent home form, well, if they're not scoring 4 goals and winning, they're losing basically, is the best way to sum it up. But recently, the...
They drew 2-2 against Cheltenham, they drew 2-2 against...
Sorry, I was talking about home, Pete. But yeah, you're right.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're right. I mean, they're away. Basically, goals. You know, they scored 4 against Scunny and beat them. They lost, but then they lost 2-0 and 3-0 in successive home games to Rotherham and to Fleetwood and Rotherham respectively. Beat Portsmouth 4-2. So are well capable. And it's interesting because again, you know, going back to, you know, a few weeks ago, Plymouth's away form always featured goals. There was a spell of about 4 or 5 games where there was some 3-1s and 3-2s and 3-3s. Suddenly, they seem to have shored things up a little bit. Only 2 goals in the last 3 away games. I wonder what's going to give here. Do York get their way and score a few, or do Plymouth keep it tight?
It's interesting, this, because I read an article in the week from Nigel Worthington suggesting that, really, he said it's great. He said it's great, and if you're scoring 3 away from home, you should be winning games. The team's fault as a whole is not the goalkeeper or the back line. It's just that it's the team's fault as a whole, we're conceding as many goals as we are, as delighted as I am that we're scoring them. 11-8 York, drops 11-5, Plymouth 2-1. This, to me, is York at 11-8, and York and both teams to score still at 15-4. It's one thing we've seen in the past, that we've done so many of these podcasts, Lee, and in the past, how many times have we seen managers say, we need to tighten up at the back, we need to start scoring goals? It doesn't change overnight. It doesn't. It really doesn't change as soon as they come out publicly and go, we need to do this. It doesn't always happen. Plymouth on the road, yes, won away at Mansfield, who I think are going to start dropping like a stone. But other than an early season win over Cheltenham, who weren't good at the time, they're not really on the road looking that dangerous or scary against, in my opinion, sometimes not good sides. York, however, they are scoring goals. And not only are they scoring goals, but they're playing against good sides. You know, Cheltenham are starting to improve, drawn 2-all there, drawn 2-all against Chesterfield despite being 2-0 up. You know, they are looking very, very good indeed. So my argument for this game, my argument for backing York here, my argument for backing York and both teams to score at 15-4, and my argument for backing, as I always tend to do at the moment, one or two of the York big boy names, you know, Ryan Jarvis 5-4, or suddenly no Brobble in this market. But my argument for those is that they're scoring goals, and I don't think that Plymouth can match them. You know, you say, well, they scored 2-8 at Chesterfield, 2-8 at Cheltenham, they scored 4 at home against Portsmouth, 4 at home against Scunthorpe. Those are ridiculous amounts of goals. What happens if they score 2? I still don't think Plymouth can match York if they score 2. So, because Plymouth have scored 2 or more in just 1 away game all season, you've got to, I think, be going with York. You've got to be going with York and both teams to score. You can, of course, look instead at York and over 2.5 match goals, which is 11-4. And you can look at all those things, because I think York are scoring goals. I think they're winning this game. I don't think Plymouth can match them. And then you see the ultimate bet, the number one bet in this game. Over 2.5 match goals is odds against.
I'm listening. I'm just picking myself up off the floor.
Mad. It's mad.
I don't really get that.
You look at the last 5 games that York have had. 3-4-2-5-4. Plymouth away from home. Yes, 3 of the last 5 away games. Maybe that's a reason why have been unders. And, you know, the last 5 games generally have been unders goals. So fair enough. But whoever York have played, they've dragged them into a goal fest. And even then, you don't need to know that Plymouth will score a goal. You don't need to know that, because you know that York have easily got it within their capability to hit 3 or 4 themselves. So you're not just playing one team to score loads of goals in this game. Sorry, you're not just playing both teams to score maybe a goal each and then one more for another one. You know that if one of them fails to score, Plymouth, you'd imagine, York have easily got it in their capability to hit 3 or 4 in the match.
Yeah.
That's a great bet.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see the thought process around that one. Yeah, decent. Very good. That's League 1, League 2 covered. We don't need to do a best bet because Pete's giving you the ones that he likes best already. I'll launch him with the both teams to score double, which I'm going for this week. Didn't land last week, unfortunately. I'm going for Port Vale versus Shrewsbury this week at 4-6. Port Vale 85% of their home games have been both teams to score. Only 57% of Shrewsbury's away games. I mean, I think there were excuses there, though. They couldn't score against Brentford, who are fifth. They couldn't score against Peterborough, who are third. And they couldn't score against Leyton Orient, who at the time, back in early August, were pummeling everyone. And still top of the table as well, of course. But, you know, other than that, both teams have scored in all the games, especially for teams around them. Port Vale's home form, they didn't score against Peterborough. Just mentioned, that's probably excusable. And that's the only one that they haven't had a both teams to score and do score goals at home. So that's one leg of it, 4-6 the price for that one. The other leg is Wimbledon versus Portsmouth. Wimbledon, well, Pompey, first of all, is the main part of this argument. 100% of their away games have featured both teams to score. Only 42% of Wimbledon. So you might think, what? But I think it's more about the Portsmouth being able, not, you know, letting
it's
goals in than Wimbledon.
Yorking, isn't it?
Yeah, and Wimbledon. Yorking, yeah, exactly. Never. And again, you know, you can make excuses if you really want to. You know, they drew a blank against Oxford at home. Oxford a second, and they drew a blank against Northampton, which is pretty inexplicable. Bottom of the table. How they didn't score there, I'm not sure, but they did have 11 shots during the game. So maybe it was just one of those days. And I'm willing just to take that on trust that it was one of those days, to be fair. So you're looking at a price of 4-6 for the Port Vale game, and the Wimbledon game is 7-10. So that comes out at a double price of 9-5, Pete.
Nice. No, I like the Portsmouth one, certainly.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, I think, you know, I like teams who are near each other in the table as well for these sorts of bets. You know, teams who are fairly evenly matched, where they're not going to, you know, generally, they're not going to try and shut up shop. They're going to try and maybe win the game. Naps, last week you went for Yeovil draw, no bet. I went for Leicester to win and over, and both teams to score, I think it was in the end. And, well, they lost and didn't score, so you couldn't get it more wrong, to be fair, from my point of view. Plus 68 for me and minus 98 for you, Pete. I tried to make it sound better then by, you know, making out I was worse off than I was, but there's no way around it. What's yours this week, Peter?
It's over 2.5 match goals, York against whoever they're playing over. Plymouth,
yeah.
There you go. Despite the fact that Plymouth's last five games have been unders on the goals, the way that York are packing them at the moment, I'm more than happy to jump on an odds against for that price. And not even need just one team to do something now. I just need both of them just to get a couple of goals, not just set me off nicely.
Nice. I mean, it's 11-10 looks a big old price. I've got the exact same bet, but a different game, and it's a shorter price. It's the other side of even money. It's 10-11 mine. Mine's over 2.5 goals in the Sheffield United game with Gillingham. Sheffield United, as you're probably well aware, have started to win games at home and score goals. They won 2-1 against Port Vale, 3-1 against Crewe. And you look at Gillingham. I mean, their away form features 2-1s, 3-0s, 2-1s, 3-2s early in the season, 2-2 at Swindon, a 4-0 at Wolves, 3-0 before that as well. So I think, you know, Gillingham concede, are capable of getting one, and Sheffield United have just found a bit of goal scoring form at home at Bramall Lane recently. So I think over 2.5 in that one at 10-11, and over 2.5 in Pete's at 11-10. Nice little double that, Pete. If anyone fancies it, I mean, there's no reason why they would take the double, if I'm being entirely honest, but it's worth a go, though, isn't it?
I do like that. I'm certainly very happy with the York bet, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I can see why. The double pays, by the way, I'll do it for you, so it's you don't have to do it yourselves. 10-11, 11-10 is, as you're probably well aware, if you're any good at maths, 3-1.
Nice.
3-1. This could be the week where we both land one. I think we both landed one before this season, to be fair, but few and far between.
I think I've only landed one of them.
A couple? Ah, I think you've landed a couple, haven't you?
I think you might have landed one too, yeah.
Counting draw no bets in here for you, mate.
Oh, that's fine then. Well, I've landed loads.
Pete, thanks for your time.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
Have a good weekend. You can hear Pete on InPlay Radio discussing the weekend's football and all other InPlay betting opportunities at williamhill.com. The web address, if you want to listen, is inplayradio.co.uk. Thanks for downloading the podcast, and we'll be back next week for more of the same.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.